And the level of anger directed at AIG over its bonus payments continues to rise. AIG employees are reported to have received death threats. Yesterday, Charles Grassley, the Republican senator from Iowa, made this eye-popping pronouncement on radio station WMT.
The first thing that would make me feel a little bit better towards them, if they'd follow the Japanese example and come before the American people and take that deep bow and say, I'm sorry, and then either do one of two things, resign or go commit suicide.
Today, Senator Grassley backtracked. He said he really doesn't want AIG executives to commit suicide, but he would like statements of apology and remorse. Our listeners have been adding their voices to the chorus of outrage. From Boise, Idaho, Randy Benjamin writes, the question is not should AIG officers receive bonuses, but why aren't these clowns being fired? To realize that AIG is even contemplating giving performance bonuses to their losers just illustrates how out of touch with reality they are.
And Sonia Ettinger of Iowa City writes this, I see no reason that these executives cannot be required to show their face and explain why they think they deserve these bonuses. At the very least, the media should be naming them. Shame on these greedy people. But amid the swell of popular outrage, there are those who say, like it or not, the bonuses must be paid. And we're joined now by one of those contrarians, Andrew Ross Sorkin, reporter and columnist with the New York Times. And Andrew, you write in your column today, you can hear the howls already as you make the case for paying up these bonuses. How loud are those howls?
I have not made any friends today.
So you're hearing loud and clear from your readers.
Oh, my goodness. I think we've now probably received probably over 3,000 emails regarding this column, and it's been a firestorm, and those howls are exactly what I expected. What I don't think people appreciate is not so much that this isn't outrageous. What's happened here is absolutely outrageous. It's disgusting. It's absurd. The fact that these bonuses were given, I agree with what everybody's saying. The one distinction that I've tried to make in the column is that, unfortunately, we can try to negotiate out of these contracts, which we should do and should have already been done, and it looks like it's failed, frankly. But barring that, for better or worse, we live in a society that's governed by laws, and you can't just start ripping up contracts. It really sets a horrible precedent, and when you think about the American government already being involved with so many companies, it really could break the bond of trust and commitment between employees and corporations around the country.
Okay, but we certainly rip up contracts all the time. If you look at the Detroit bailout, the condition of that was the union had to make major concessions. Why shouldn't the same principle apply here with AIG?
I absolutely agree with you, by the way. I think the big mistake was early on when the government got involved with AIG, they should have actually made some pronouncements. And by the way, on the flip side, though, on the Detroit issue, it's, you know, most of these contracts that are going cut are getting renegotiated. There's actually a renegotiation going on. And if the union wanted to, it could stand up and say, you know what, we're not doing this. But they decided, for better or worse, that it's in their interest to do so. That's exactly what should be going on the AIG side. I think what's nerve-wracking is some of the comments and populist sort of rhetoric out of Washington about literally ripping up the contracts and what that actually means in a larger sort of macro sense about contracts in our country.
We just heard in Jim Zarroli's piece that it's the same people in the financial products unit division who created this problem who are now trying to unwind it and being rewarded for doing that.
And it's upsetting.
And it's upsetting. You're right, though. AIG built this bomb, and it may be the only outfit that really knows how to defuse it. It sounds, though, like that's, you know, AIG employees holding everybody else, holding taxpayers hostage. It's this sort of blackmail,
And to be honest with you, there is an element of that, which is to say, you know, you and I don't want to go work for AIG. It is probably very hard to find a talented person to go work at AIG. Not only do you need just any old talented person, you actually need someone who understands derivatives, understands these contracts, and understands how to unwind them. And if you understand the puzzle of what's happening is they're unwinding trades, and what it means is they're unwinding trades against somebody else. There's always a counterparty. And on the other side is Goldman Sachs or Morgan Stanley or whomever, and those guys are pretty smart too. And so what I don't think you want in the end, because remember, we are now shareholders of this company as taxpayers, what we don't want is an exodus of any talent out of this building.
And you consider it talent.
It's very hard to find people who actually want to go work at this company who are talented enough to do it.
And you do consider it talent.
Well, I use that word because I'm not sure there's a better one, but you need people who have the skills to be able to do this. Now, given some of these people use their skills to blow up the economy and clearly blow up AIG. But, you know, it's, as I said, it's not so clear that there are, you could not, and I, frankly, could not go into AIG tomorrow and do these jobs. We're just not in the position to do it.
I think that's a fair assumption on my part. I don't know about for you. I can hear the howls of protest from our listeners already. Andrew Ross Sorkin, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Andrew Ross Sorkin is a reporter and columnist with The New York Times.